Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. And on this episode, we will be discussing a bit of Game of Thrones retcon with a Jon Snow series, review of Only Murders in the Building Season 2. But the majority of this episode, we are going to get controversial. That's right, we're going to discuss our own hot takes on popular opinions. So let's get on with the show. My name's Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, I'm my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
Part-timer, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello. I'm here.
Easy. Oh, okay. We only have so many speakers.
Yeah. I only have one good ear.
Yeah, that was...
That's because I blew the other one out already.
That was quite loud.
Yeah.
That's what that was. Troy will not be here because he is currently, the way I understand it, on a biking across America tour. He's riding his bicycle all over Wisconsin.
It's because gas is too expensive.
Yeah, it is. It's because gas is... No, he's, you know, I don't know. He's doing his thing. He thinks this is fun and cool. Just ask him. He'll tell you all about it.
He'll tell you all about it. But at the same time, have you seen some of the pictures he's been sharing with him and a group of friends? Like, I'm really just jealous of him with a group of friends.
I'm pretty sure. Look.
Okay. He paid for those people, John.
Isn't it fair to say that this is really a pride run? Because it's Pride Month and it's all guys. I mean, it's a pride run. Is that okay? I mean, maybe
if that's what he's into. Out him on the podcast.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to touch this with anybody else's junk.
Just saying. Seems like he's on a pride run. I hope he has a lot of fun with it. Probably time to move on from that.
Before we get in trouble.
Before you get canceled, for sure.
What's next? Are you going to dead name him now, too?
Stop it. If anybody be they, them, it'd be Troy, though. I'm just saying.
Robot?
Yep, he's a robot.
That's funny. That's accurate.
All right. Snowpiercer, I want to mention, by the way, is going to end with season 4 they finally announced, which I believe was the last remaining scripted drama on TNT, which also means that TNT effectively no longer knows drama.
Yeah, they don't know drama.
Not anymore. They stopped knowing it.
They canceled all of it.
They canceled drama. Weird. Nobody's really sad about this, right? Because I stopped watching it in season 2.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. I never got a chance to, and I don't know if I will now. But I mean, at least it's a prepared ending,
yeah,
right?
They have a prepared ending, so, as we've talked about in recent episodes. That's great. We know what's coming. Yay.
I felt really great after the movie, so that's why I never gave the show a chance.
I loved the movie.
It was actually a really good show. I mean, yeah, David Diggs was great, and Jennifer Connelly was great. I mean, it's a great cast. It's fun. It's a little CW, and it's follow through, but I still enjoyed it. I just kind of got bored. I'm like, there's only so much you can do on a train.
There are only so many cars.
Exactly. Well, let's get into some real movie and TV discussion. I thought this was fascinating. Jon Snow is getting a spinoff sequel series with Kit Harington. So Game of Thrones is actually getting a sequel to the ending that we already got. And, you know, I've got a multitude of questions. There are reports that this is going to be kind of a retcon to the way that the sequel to the original series ending, to kind of give them more to play with. Well, in terms of those characters that are still
question
alive.
Question mark, exclamation point.
Why is there an exclamation point?
Because I don't know. You went through all that work and you accepted all of that criticism and you defended it. And now you're like, okay, well, you know what? All right, fine. We give in to the people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, they're scared of people. I don't know. People. And plus, they
figure
they can
people are scary, money. Man.
They are. But what I don't get is, why the hell Jon Snow over Arya? I mean, there are some people saying that Jon Snow's a great character, just a mediocre actor, and vice versa. And I'm like, I think Jon Snow's just the most, you know, kind of bland character through no fault of his own. I don't think Harrington was the problem. I just think it is, you know?
I think the idea of going with Jon Snow versus Arya is partially because Jon Snow is easier to see yourself in for a lot of people. Because he is so bland that you can actually, you know, insert yourself into that character and be a part of that world. Whereas Arya is wildly an impressive character. That's a lot to say.
No,
Arya
is accurate.
A good character.
It's accurate.
It is. It's accurate. It's okay to say that, man.
Well, I didn't want to, like, anyone come at me for that. So anyhow, Arya is an impressive character that holds her own and that is hard to see yourself as, because she really does do things that people wouldn't normally do and or be able to believe on a regular basis, because she's like 2 feet tall. So,
oh, but we're good with Tom Cruise and Kevin Hart. Come on. It's the same height.
I suddenly feel like I'm not going to touch the difference in that.
I'm sitting at the same height. They're not tall people.
It's possible, with what I've seen from Kit Harington since Game of Thrones, that he will be a much more interesting Jon Snow. Hopefully he'll be able to, like, because I've seen him in a few things and he is really charming and really engaging.
He was great on Saturday Night Live, too. He's funny.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we'll see more of that kind of, like, characters seep through, kind of like how, I know Aaron hates this comparison, but how Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth brought out the more boobish characteristics of Thor. So I hope that something like that happens.
What? You want to see Jon Snow be a boob now? That just sounds ridiculous. That's not, no.
Well, no. It's better than him being like a toe.
I think you could have him as a toe and have all of these other characters reintroduced. But to me, it defeats the point of having a serious ending to the series. Yeah. If you're bringing back one of the most prominent characters and redoing things in terms of the ending.
Well, because and that means Arya and Sansa will be able to show up.
They have to. You know,
I don't want to see the wildlings all the time.
Tormund should be the one to get his own show. Let's be honest.
Ridiculous.
I kind of feel like also at the same time, this is becoming it's getting the Star Wars treatment. Like, how many pieces of Game of Thrones sequels do we need? Because this would mean that there are now 7 projects in the works in addition to the upcoming House of the Dragon.
What are the other ones? Well, there's a bunch that are in the works that aren't going to happen, though. I mean, that's the trick. There's a bunch that aren't going to happen. So I'm not too worried about that. I think House of the Dragon's obviously going to happen. It's coming out soon. But this will happen. And I think this is probably more exciting, especially for people that hated the ending because it didn't end the way I wanted it. Ah.
Well, you have 10,000 ships. You have 9 voyages. Duncan Egg. That's a weird name. Don't say that together. The Golden Empire has 3 animated prequel projects.
Pear tree.
but those are all things that they were working on. This is something that's actually moving forward. So I think that's the difference. Like, there's a lot of projects that they're talking about, and then there are ones that are actually moving forward. And I think
a stage play.
Yeah. Well, of course you got to.
But I just mean this is Matt a Damon's lot in it, right? Of like. I don't feel like there's a clear vision and direction of where they want to go. They're just trying to throw Game of Thrones stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And I don't feel like it's necessary. I feel like if you're going to try to create a follow-up and continue this franchise's legacy, first of all, you have to be accountable and own up to the ending that you created. It just, y'all did that. And it wasn't that long ago that you did that.
And it wasn't bad.
And it wasn't bad, even if you have a lot of criticism on it. And if there's something that you want to address that maybe didn't get addressed, okay, fine, that's one thing. But to change things, I'm not okay with that. I don't care. You know, do it like Dexter did it, where you accept your ending and maybe you bring it back to give better finality, but you don't change what you've already done. You accept that you made those moves.
Well, too late. They're not going to accept it.
I don't think they listen to us.
No. They don't care what I have to say.
They don't care what anybody has to say. It's money. Money, 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 money.
You know, at the same time, I don't believe the original creators of Game of Thrones are involved in this. So
they
you can't.
Not.
Yeah. So you can't sit there and say you can sit there and say, I'm not going to tell you what you can and cannot do. However, it's not appropriate it's not appropriate to say that, you know, this is your ending, live with it, deal with it, and all this other stuff, when the original creators are like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go try to get some of that Star Wars money. And meanwhile, HBO is like, well, cool. You guys screwed this up anyways. We're going to turn around and fix it. So
I think we can say that, though. I think we can confidently say HBO had to have approved the ending. If they were going to release it, HBO has a lot of money and they have a lot of power. They would have said, no, this is not going to happen at all. Mm-hmm. Whether they, you know, upon reflection and in hindsight, regret their decision, they did it and accepted it before. So they're also accountable for the decision. It's not just the showrunners, because there are plenty of showrunners who get run over by the studios, and HBO Max would not stand there and say, hey, we'll listen to you, if they had an opinion that they really felt serious about. So I feel like we can tell them, you accepted this decision. Don't sit here and play with the reality of the storyline that we all witnessed. You can't Men in Black me. Like, I remember what happened.
Kind of like how Boba Fett died.
You have a responsibility to move along with what happened, with what was presented.
The actual president of HBO at the time loved it. So he was praising it. He just kept saying over and over, I love how it ended. Blah, 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 blah. The ending's great. You guys are going to be, you know, and obviously that's marketing, mm-hmm. publicity. But at the same time, yes, they own it too. They have every right. Which I never understood is why HBO never said, you need two more episodes to flesh this out. And honestly, I've always said that's all I think was missing, is it moved a little too fast the last two seasons, yeah. Especially the last season.
Yeah.
Flesh it out. Just flesh it out. That's all you have to do. Get two more episodes, and I think it would have been grand. A grand finale. And I still like the ending. I don't care what anybody says. There's my hot take. It's great. I've rewatched it. I have no problems with it, other than it moves a little too fast.
You're supposed to save this part for our topic of the week.
Well, it's too bad. I'm throwing it out there now. It is what it is. You know? It is what it is. But what do you guys... I mean, you know, Amanda already stated her point. John, like, how do you feel about them retconning the ending?
I don't care right now. I will hold my opinion until I see how they actually do that, because if it actually makes a difference, or if it doesn't make that big of a difference, I don't care. I'm not even convinced I'm going to 100% sit down and watch it, because I'm actually getting a little tired of this whole, like, let's bring something back thing we keep doing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I wonder what's going to happen. We had an ending, and I felt like the Starks had great endings. Maybe Bran was a little weird, but, you know, the other ones had a great ending, and, you know, you're kind of stomping on it a little bit, but it is what it is. And also, again, I would much rather have an Arya show. I would much rather have an Arya. West of Westeros is the show I want. So, and by everybody I've ever talked to, that's the show most people wanted.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't quite understand why they went with Jon Snow, other than maybe
availability. Maisie Williams was like, I kind of already did my time.
Yeah, I want to be done.
Maisie Williams is unrecognizable at the moment.
Yeah, she's grown up.
She's grown up.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. We'll see what happens with that. All right, Disney's Hercules is getting a live action remake from director Guy Ritchie. Is there anything left from Disney or maybe even Pixar's vault that you would love to see as a live action remake? I mean, aren't we done with this yet?
No, I think they're going to do every single thing that they have in there. And I would be okay with some additional Sleeping Beauty ones. I know we've had some that touch on Sleeping Beauty, but that was my favorite. But the reason I laughed is because Guy Ritchie as a director is just not what I would picture for a Hercules movie. On that note, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, he's the type of director that's going to make a Disney Hercules movie, which nobody cares about, I don't think, into something that people will care about and be excited to watch.
Well, he did Aladdin. So, I mean, he's done a Disney remake before.
I know, but again, he's very different. His style of work is very different from, like, what I would say the traditional Disney movie would try to come at.
Sure.
But I do think it's going to work really well.
I can't wait to see a remake, a live action remake of Hercules. That was one of my favorite Disney movies. As far as what kind of other live actions I want to see, The Emperor's New Groove, that would be awesome. And Guy Ritchie can probably do that better than anybody else, because it's kind of a caper movie and he's really great at caper movies. So, yeah, that's I enjoyed Aladdin. It didn't necessarily knock my socks off as far as being something completely different from the original, but it was an enjoyable sit, and I do appreciate what they do.
I want a live action Toy Story. I want a bunch of.
I don't.
I want to see Tom Hanks in a little cowboy hat. And I want to see Tim Allen in a Buzz Lightyear outfit. That's what I want. Make it happen. And obviously, it's very important to people that Tim Allen is Buzz Lightyear because they just don't want Chris Evans.
I mean, I'm kind of on board with that. I love Chris Evans, but I don't know. It's just like you're messing with my childhood while my childhood still exists.
But it's a different character. He's playing a different character.
I know. I know.
I would rather see a live action Bugs Life over live action Toy Story.
So, no. With like real bugs?
No.
How does that work?
It would be nightmare fuel, honestly.
Well, I mean, you could make a Discovery Channel version, I guess, where you're just like, oh, look.
It would definitely be nightmare. Nightmare fuel. Nightmare?
Nightmare
fuel.
Nightmare fuel. Okay, so, yeah, I can't think of anything else, really. I'm kind of tired of the live-action remake thing, but, hey, people love them. I mean, we can complain about them all we want. People love them. They keep going to these movies over and over and over again. So it is what it is. I kind of want to mention this. I don't know if this is worth mentioning, but I'm going to mention it anyway. So Stephen Colbert's staffers were doing a skit at the Capitol, apparently, with Triumph, the comic insult dog. Robert Smigel is still around, apparently. And I guess Conan O'Brien was done using them, so he just moved over to Colbert. And they got arrested, apparently, for even though they supposedly had all the permissions and everything else. And I just kind of find that funny.
It's one of these things where I sit there and say, okay, you guys were invited to leave once. You should have left, even if you thought you had the right documents or not. Like, as soon as somebody said, yeah, these aren't the right documents, you go, oh, okay, cool. I'm out of here, especially after what happened just a few months ago or years ago or whatever it was.
Feels like it's still going on.
Yeah, it's like, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
It's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's coming up. I think the extended anniversary, which means we're going to just keep replaying it every 5 minutes, is tomorrow. Just kind of weird that they're doing a sketch and they end up getting arrested for just...
Right.
And also, why is Triumph still a thing? Is he still funny, I guess?
No.
Yeah.
I never thought he was funny.
And me either. I just kind of thought it was a little exhausting, really.
Yeah. So, but the thing that's like frustrating me is that it's taken no time for people to sit there and try to say, well, this is the same thing as exactly what happened on January 6th. And
Probably not.
No. Well, I guess it's similar in that they're both real. Yeah.
Oh yeah, like they're like people were there, and
it's like, why are people? There's still people that say, it wasn't that big a deal. I'm like, I don't know what you were looking at, but it looked like a big deal to me. All the behind the scenes. I mean, it was like watching a movie.
Yeah, it was like, I'm pretty sure people got shot and lost eyes.
Yes, there's some intensity, and obviously we don't talk about politics. I'm just, you know, but don't say it wasn't. It happened. It happened after. And by the way, the other guy lost. Just so you know. But I didn't specify, so you can go crazy with whatever theory you want. Have fun. So after this episode, we are taking a 2-week break because of the July 4th holiday. Just so you know, there will be like a compilation episode next week. But just so you know, we're taking a 2-week break because we all have many, many things going on. But remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can join our Facebook group. We're also on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. And if you want to support us on Patreon, that's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. There are new episodes of Bad Movie Night are out, which was Jurassic Park 3, which is a lot of fun. And also there's a bonus episode where John and I spend a lot of time making fun of Troy and his haircut.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, that's what
happens. That's worth the money right there.
It is. It's when you skip an episode, that's what happens to you. If you listen to other episodes, Amanda, you'd know that.
Oh.
I'm just letting you know. Patreon.com/
This is awkward.
The Hollywood Outsider.
This is real awkward. I shouldn't have laughed.
Nope. And I don't listen, but I already know they make fun of me when I'm not here.
There you go. See? That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
All right, so Only Murders in the Building Season 2. I was able to see the 8 episodes of the 10 that are coming out for Season 2. So I'm going to review those. The first 2 episodes arrive June 28th on Hulu, and then every week after that until you get to 10.
So, Aaron, the first season navigated the relationship between Charles, Oliver, and Mabel with a little bit of push and pull, and it ended with them coming together as friends. Does the second season maintain this status, or does it unnecessarily put barriers into their friendship?
No, they are very much friends in the second season. Thank God.
I love that.
I love the central mystery, which if you saw the end of season 1, it's that. Is it okay to say that? I mean, it's been like a year since it was.
I think it's okay. Okay. Yeah.
So Mabel is essentially framed for murder. Actually, all 3 of them seem to be, at least at the end of season 1, framed for murder. And then season 2 is following that murder and of Bunny, the person in charge of the hotel, of the apartment complex. Season 2 is trying to find out who killed her, because we know it wasn't Mabel. We know Selena Gomez didn't do it. So we're trying to find out who did it. And these 3 initially are trying not to get involved because the police are very clear to stay the hell out of this because you guys are idiots.
You're not professional detectives. No.
You accidentally solved the last murder. This is not going to be a common theme with you. So please, 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 you know, da, 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 da. And they come together as friends again. And once again, throughout the season, are working together. There's constant bits between all of them. You know, Selena Gomez, once again, is very much the dry humor, while Martin Short is the theatrical one, and Steve Martin is very just Steve Martin throughout. So yeah, the friendship is very important, and you come to really, really appreciate like their genuine love for each other.
Oh,
which is really, really
that
sweet.
Makes me happy.
Yeah, because they really, really care, even though they're idiots. They're absolutely idiotic. They really, really want to save her. You know, the other two, Charles and Oliver, they really, really want to save Mabel.
Yeah.
Okay. But they also want a bitchin' podcast on top of
that. Ultimately, we're here for a good mystery, though. Mm-hmm. So is this season Knives Out level clever, or does it fall short to our expectations?
Well, I can say I haven't seen the final reveal because I've only seen 8 of the 10. They only released 8 to critics.
Unfortunate.
No, I understand. Some people are jerks and
there are
spoil
jerks,
it,
jerk you know? Critics.
But I will say up to this point, I've genuinely been surprised by several of the turns. There's one or two that you kind of can figure out, but also how they play out are completely different from how I expected. And then there's some genuine twists where I'm like, oh, that was really clever. That was, I did not see that coming. I was leaning toward one way and then they went a different way because, you know, the whole time they're just guiding you toward another one direction. And you've got so many great cameos from other actors. You know, I can only name 2 because they're mentioned already in the pilot, like in press materials. But Amy Schumer pops up. And even if you're not an Amy Schumer fan, it's still funny because she's not playing Amy. She's playing the worst version of Amy Schumer. And Cara Delevingne shows up and she's very good friends with Selena Gomez, but she plays an artist who maybe might be a suspect. You never know, right? Might have nefarious reasons behind her. Like there's new suspects that pop up. And also a lot of actors you know just pop up randomly in an episode here and there, which is great because there's so many actors that just pop up. Like, why are you here? That's fantastic. Why are you here?
Yeah, I think we all loved the way they incorporated Sting into the first season. So I was really, really hoping that we would get some good cameos.
Amy Schumer is the Sting of this season.
Gotcha.
But there are so many other cameos where actors that you know are playing different roles.
So if you hadn't seen the first season, aside from knowing that there's a friendship and a podcast and some of the basics, could you walk into season 2 since it's a new mystery?
No.
You really need the foundation of the first.
You need to watch season 1 because so much of season 2 connects to season 1. I mean, they give you the whole previously on, so you'll be reminded of it. But if you haven't watched it, I think you would not know what the hell is going on.
A lot of like jokes that reference or bits that might reference the first season.
In the first episode, there's literally 2 jokes where they actually, it's almost like they break the fourth wall and go, that's a callback. Where they actually say, that's a callback. And I thought that was freaking hilarious because I'm like, because we all should know it's a callback, but, you know, Martin Short has to point it out.
Yeah.
And that's a callback. Because we did it before.
So if you had to put a rating on the first 8 episodes out of 10 that you've seen, what would you give this
season
second
two?
Season?
Well, I will tell you season one was probably, no, not probably, it was my favorite series of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was fantastic. It hit all my sweet spots. It has comedy. It has heart. It has murder. It has mystery. It has a lot of things going for it. And I was not disappointed at all. And one thing that I really, really loved about this season that's different from the first season is in the first season, there it's pretty much standard episodes across the board, right? They're all three of them are getting into hijinks as they try to solve the murder. And there's a lot of cleverness in terms of the writing going. But then they also had like one episode where it was very specific, where you follow the events through a deaf person. And so you experience it through his eyes because he can't hear. And
yeah.
It's a very, very clever and very smartly written episode. There are not of that iteration, but there are other creative avenues taken in multiple episodes this year. So they're taking more chances. So it's keeping it very fresh because every episode does something a little different than just making it the same show the same episode every week. You know, it's not just, oh, look, more jokes with those three. Like, there's something creative happening all the time.
That's really cool.
That's very cool. So I would give it 8 out of 10. Depends on how it pays off, because I gave the first season probably 9.5 out of 10. Like, I freaking love the first season. So the second season it has to stick the landing. That's all. And I think so far it looks like it will, but you never know until you see it.
Yeah.
All right. Any other recent film or TV recommendations? John, anything?
I finally got to sit down and watch No Time to Die last night, and No Time to Die had plenty of time to fall asleep through.
I think it makes a difference if you see that one in a theater, buddy. I really, really.
It's probably possible. However, I did watch Operation Mincemeat, which
that's
is
on Netflix,
also
right?
It's on Netflix, okay. And it stars Colin Firth and a whole bunch of other people, Johnny Flynn. It's very interesting as far as the story is concerned. It's got a lot of great like heart to it and funny moments to it, and it's got a great pace. Even though it's a little long, it's got a great pace to it as well. You get to see the beginnings of people like is it Ian Flynn?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. You did.
No, James Bond's original writer.
Oh, Ian Fleming.
Ian Fleming, yes. You get to see the beginnings of Ian Fleming and how, like, during the time of World War II, how nearly every English soldier, captain, officer, whatever you want, how nearly every single one of them were writing spy novels during the time of the war. And it was really cool. So, yeah, I really actually recommend Operation Mincemeat. It's on Netflix, and it's a good time.
I caught on Netflix there are a couple of things, one of which is Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey. And it is it is going into the criminal investigation of Warren Jeffs, who was the prophet for the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and had a lot of polygamy. And he was arrested for a couple charges of child rape. And it's just a really crazy, wild story that happened not that long ago in Texas, and it crossed multiple states. And it's a really wild story. If you didn't hear about it, it is shocking to see the reveal of this religion and some of the people who got out of it, how they're talking about it. It's just crazy to think that there are people out there who are okay with some of this stuff. And then the other thing that I watch is God's Favorite Idiot, which is also on Netflix. That one, so far, it's pretty funny. I'm only a couple episodes into it. And basically, this guy learns that he is chosen by God for no reason that he can figure out, because he has a very self-deprecating view of himself.
Melissa McCarthy, Ben Falcone show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. I won't watch anything else that he writes for her. She is so talented, and I just don't like him at all. Like,
I like
as an actor.
So far. She's
I don't
funny.
Like his writing. I don't like his writing.
Oh, I like it so far.
Okay.
But basically, they work together, and she notices, hey, this guy is glowing at work. Like, I swear to God. And she does a lot of drugs, and so she's trying to tell her coworkers in the first episode. I know I do a lot of drugs, and I definitely did do some drugs. I accidentally roofied myself last night, but I'm pretty sure I saw this dude glowing in the office when I rode my scooter here. And they're like, hardly believable.
Wow.
And so it's starting this journey of this guy being selected by God to do something. Who knows what? Basically just defend against Lucifer, but we don't know the details of it. And so it's comical. It kind of reminds me of The Good Place a little bit in terms of you have to do this certain thing, but there's a lot of humor that happens to keep you outside of getting too indebted into the religious aspects of it.
It's a lot of religion for one weekend.
It is a lot of religion for one weekend.
I watched Murder in Yellowstone City, which is it's about a small Yellowstone city, like in the Old West, basically, where one man finds gold, strikes gold, then he's murdered very shortly after. And it becomes a murder mystery as Gabriel Byrne, of course, points the finger at the first black guy he sees. And they think, no, we don't think you actually, other people feel like he's not the one that killed him. So it's a murder mystery as they try to find out exactly who the culprit is. Thomas Jane is in it as well. My full review will be on the site probably by the time you hear this. But that is it's an interesting film. It's more of it's a murder mystery. It's not a Western shootout. There's no big, none of that nonsense. It's just really Knives Out in the Old West without humor. And it was solid. I wouldn't call it great. Wouldn't call it bad. It's just solid. It's a very average watch, but it's worth a watch. So if you get a chance, I would check out Murder in Yellowstone City, especially if you're a fan of mysteries and Westerns. It's just, plus Gabriel Byrne and Thomas Jane, I always enjoy. So now let's go to our From the Outside In topic. Okay, on this episode, we are going to share our very personal, controversial takes on movies and TV. Now, what that means is that we think very passionately the opposite of popular opinions in regards to certain things in TV or movies. Some examples would be, and I'm not saying I co-sign on these, I'm just saying that these would be examples of a controversial opinion, or hot take, I guess you would call it. Some people call it these days. I just hate that term. Beverly Hills Cop 3 is the best of the Beverly Hills Cop movies. We all know that's nonsense, but somebody probably believes it. Tom Hanks is actually an awful actor.
Those people are wrong and don't deserve to be here.
But it's possible. It's out there. People out there. The Game of Thrones series ending was magnificent. I might be on that board. I don't know. John Williams scores do nothing for you because you're dead inside. Or even George Clooney was the best Batman. I guess there's something to be said for that. So controversial means it cannot be an obscure thought you have, John. It has.
What?
Yeah. I'm not pointing a finger, but if a finger was to be pointed, I'm just saying it might lend your direction. It has to be against the grain of most popular opinions, and you truly believe it. So don't just be contrarian, Troy, who's not here. It needs to be something you actually believe, not just saying the opposite because it sounds cool. Everybody understand? Makes sense?
I got the rules.
Got it.
All right. So, Amanda, give us your first controversial opinion, and we're going to discuss if there's a lot of wrongness in your opinion.
The only director more overrated than Paul Thomas Anderson is Wes Anderson.
So by that statement, you're saying that both Paul Thomas Anderson and Wes Anderson are overrated.
I am.
It has to be something to do with the name Anderson.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, who are the directors that I can't stand? And I thought of those two and I was like, hold on, are they related? I need to make sure that this isn't like a familial thing.
Where are you on Paul W.S. Anderson?
Oh my God.
let's not go into all the Andersons.
Okay. Man, I gotta tell you, I know a lot of people think Paul Thomas Anderson is like one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. I am not on board with that either. So I find him to be lethargically paced in his films. Like, they're boring.
Both of these directors to me create very boring, sometimes artistically beautiful in the way it's presented. Mm-hmm. At most, I would say Wes Anderson has a bit more creativity when it comes to that because he can have some visually appealing pieces. But other than that, I don't give a shit about what they're putting on the screen at all. And yeah, it makes me want to take a little nappy nap.
John, where do you stand on this?
I don't know, because I can say that Wes Anderson has created some very fun, interesting, and engaging movies for me. Other movies that he's done have been movies that I've avoided like the plague just because of the people who love them so much. And then Paul Thomas Anderson, all right, I sort of get it because like looking over a lot of the things he's made, I have passed on a lot of them. And the stuff that I have seen, though I think are fantastic movies, I also think that I could have just done better by beating myself with a hammer and knocking myself out.
That's kind of how I feel.
When it comes to Paul Thomas Anderson, I just find him okay. I just find his movies very lethargically paced. Like I said, Wes Anderson, I don't like at all. Not at all. I don't like, it's very much a, it's like quirk for quirk's sake.
Yes.
As soon as you see his name, you're like, oh, it's going to be quirky. Of course it is, because everything he does is quirky. I'm just tired of quirk.
Why did you get gay man accent?
I didn't. It wasn't gay man. It was quirk accent. It was a quirky accent. It was not.
So you're saying, are you saying the gay accents are quirky?
Oh, son of a bitch. I'm not going in this corner. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just saying that Wes Anderson is a little too quirky for my liking. I don't like that style of humor, I guess, is what it is.
I really want to just point out how we just called the gay accent a gay accent.
You guys did. I did not.
It's an affect, not an accent.
Just letting you know. Either way, it was you guys, sons of bitches. Okay. All right. Happy Pride Month. Jesus.
Yeah, happy Pride Month. Jesus. Speaking of which, John, what's yours?
What's my what?
Your first one.
That's funny.
You missed my joke.
I thought it was clever.
I got it. The movie industry would be so much better off if the nerds didn't take it over.
Oh, that's an interesting take.
What do you mean by that?
It seems like everyone who, you know, I got along with throughout my life who wanted to see movies about you know, cartoon characters that we loved or see real takes on, you know, comic book characters, all this stuff, see Star Wars dug out from the grave, all these guys who all really wanted to see that one. And all of a sudden, that's all we're getting. And we no longer appreciate the movies that have nothing to do with that.
Oh, so you're saying we went too far to the other side, like we tend to do these days.
Yes.
Whichever side you're on, we go too far to the other side.
Right. So as much as I want to be able to say something like Top Gun is a movie that is an outlier from what I just said, it's not an outlier because a lot of people who we grew up with, a lot of the nerds, really loved that movie. And to be able to finally see them pull a sequel out of that movie 30 years later is, again, that falls into the category. Now, it would be really bad if we see like another sequel to Iron Eagle pop up. But
would it though? Would it? I like Lou Gossett Jr. I'd be okay with seeing him back.
You're gonna see that cyst on the top of his head pilot a plane?
Stop it. Stop it.
Anyhow, I sort of really miss brand new ideas that were brought to film. Ideas that, you know, would be virtuosity that would have been like, you know, that would never make it today. Even if it was brought up to date to current technology, would never make it today.
Well, they've stopped making movies that we used to flock to. A Few Good Men, stuff like that, where like a good courtroom thriller, a good just sexy thriller, like a Fatal Attraction or something like that. Those used to be things that were in theaters and people flocked to them. Now it's just, you're right. I see what you're saying. It's just all comic book movies, sequels to beloved properties we've known from Star Wars, Jurassic World, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Even the TV shows are more popular if they're geek related.
Yes and no. TV has become the realm of where a lot of those Fatal Attraction type movies have gone to.
But they fall on deaf ears because nobody really, and they don't put the same effort into them.
Right.
You know, it used to be like the biggest stars and, oh, we're matching them up. Halle Berry and Bruce Willis. And, you know, you've got Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. You know, this is some sexy stuff. And now it's, I don't know, who's Kelly Ripa's husband? That guy and somebody else.
You know, I would almost argue that it's less to do with nerds taking over Hollywood and more to do with just Disney taking over Hollywood.
I mean, there's some truth there, but it's DC too. I mean, I think it's nerds. I think the geek show on Hair at the Earth has been what Well, it has doomed us all.
That is where the worst fandoms live.
Pluses and minuses. Pluses and minuses.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really the worst fandom, where the worst fandoms live.
How so? Why do you think that?
Man, I mean, think about Spider-Man. No offense. Think about Spider-Man. Think about all the DC movies. Think about Star Wars. Think about every property that comes from nerds. And how, if it's not exactly how that one individual nerd feels it should be, then they're going to argue with every other nerd in the world and say, no, you're wrong. I'm right. No, you're wrong. I'm right. And they should have done it this way. And we're literally going to start an online campaign until Zack Snyder gets his director cut released.
I'm good with that.
Like, just...
You know, I'm good with that.
I know there's been some good benefits that came out of it, but when you think about think about the Star Wars fandom, how evil they can be and mean.
It's like you give the guy who was bullied for his whole life, you give him a little bit of power and they start becoming, you know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
You know, as far as like the Star Wars fandom, like, yeah, some Star Wars fans are the worst human beings on the planet, which is interesting because you would think that a whole story that's, you know, supposed to be anti-fascism and you get these fascists that show up and think,
yeah,
and start like complaining about it. Like, that's that. I guess you're missing the whole point of what's happening here.
On the same token, I think there's hyperbole on both sides. Like, I'm going to be defensive on that point for a second, because every time you want to be critical of anything that's Marvel or Star Wars or any property like that, it's always you're a hater. So it goes both ways. I mean, people just attack you for having an opinion that isn't, you know, especially when it comes to Marvel or Star Wars. If you're not on board and you don't love it, then you're obviously a hater. That's not fair. That's not critical thinking. That's you just being a fan.
Or if you liked a DC property. Yeah. Then, my God, you just didn't understand it. You don't know film. You don't understand.
Right.
You just don't understand.
There's hyperbole on both sides of it. That's also very true. The thing I'm actually pointing out is like when like so I get hypercritical over things like Boba Fett and some of the Star Wars properties, but I tend to think that it's because I know the story better than they do. However, when you're starting to get hypercritical because this character's race shouldn't be in the Star Wars story, or why do we have this, you know, why should we care about this female role at all? You know, when it starts attacking things that are, you wouldn't actually go out in the street and say, hey, this black, ooh, I almost said it.
Glad you didn't, whatever it was. I have no idea what you were going to say.
Hey, this person, because of race, shouldn't even be involved in the whole story. Like, yeah, that is where you start making the, you start crossing the line when it becomes a conversation about that. Like the poor girl from, who had.
Kelly Marie Tran.
Yes. All she did was
exist.
Show up, nail her her audition, and then show up in the story because she did an awesome job in her audition, and all of a sudden everyone just gave her a hard time and like ran her off the internet. Like that's garbage. Like that's treating people like that for no other reason than the fact that their existence is what bothers you. That's where we start crossing a line.
I can agree.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, man. Now I don't like geeks anymore. Thanks, man. That means I hate myself because I need more self-loathing in my life.
Right.
So here, I'm gonna give you something, and I've always thought this isn't something I just pulled out of my ass.
I'm sure that trunk's got a lot in it.
It's a badonkadonk, man. I'm telling you, it's really. But I want to explain it, and I want you to think about it before you tell me I'm crazy. Okay. All right. And keep in mind, this movie is from the early '80s. It's a different time. It's like 40 years ago, different time. 40 years ago this year, actually this month.
Oh, happy anniversary, mystery movie.
Pride month and 40 year anniversary of this movie. So I think it all connects. So here we go. You ready? I believe E.T. is less a story about friendship than it is an unconventional metaphor or allegory, however you want to say it, for homosexual or interracial love. Let me explain. And if you're,
please do.
And if you're, please don't think anything pervy. The only pervy, it's innocent love. So please relax. It's about loving someone who is unconventional to the rest of your world, your current existence. And if you just think about the film a little bit, it's the early '80s. An outsider arrives that everyone just stares at because they don't understand at this time. They're not used to whatever. The government is hunting them for no reason other than they don't approve. Elliot knows he needs to keep E.T. a secret. His friends all understand because they love Elliot and they have no problem with it. But the older adults, oh, they have issues. Elliot and E.T. immediately have an unbreakable bond. When separated, they even feel each other, like deeply, like feel each other.
You're right.
E.T. watches the sweeping romantic movie and that takes over Elliot's body, which prompts him to kiss a girl while E.T.'s thinking about maybe kissing Elliot and it takes over. There's a way. I'm just saying. Elliot's mom doesn't approve but comes to love E.T. and wants to keep them together. When the government pulls them apart, both Elliot and E.T. start to break down because their love is so strong. E.T. knows he has to go back to his family because in this era, no one understands E.T. and Elliot's love. So Elliot's friends help him get back to his family, where he tells Elliot he'll always be right here in his heart with this gigantic glowing heart to prove it. So tell me, how is this not a love story?
I think when you...
Well, I'm sold.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
I've had this conversation with people over the years, and of course, they always say I'm crazy before I even speak.
I've honestly never heard this take before, so I don't know if it counts as controversial because I've never heard anybody else ever talk about it.
Please go state it in a public forum.
I was going to say, but I think now that it's out in the ethers, people are going to come for you and be like, no, but I agree with you. I think that's an interesting observation.
I actually firmly believe it's probably more homosexual, I would say, than interracial. But I was just trying to think, like, at the time, those were kind of still taboo. Interracial was still taboo. And I know that because I lived, you know, even though times had changed, they hadn't changed that much. And homosexuality was really looked down upon. So with the government constantly basically implying horrible things about homosexuals and stuff like that. So I've always thought that this was kind of like a very small, innocent way to show love between two boys, that it happens, you know, and it doesn't, you don't have to think like, I've had this conversation and people automatically go dirty. And that just irritates me because I'm like, you didn't think it was dirty when they were just friends. So, you know, why do you have to make it that way? It's, you can love all children, like at that age, at Elliot's age, love somebody, they have a crush on somebody. So, I mean, that's, I think it was completely normal. And I think if you think of it in that way and you watch it in that way, it becomes a different kind of movie and it kind of a beautiful story.
I like that. We need to have Steven Spielberg's take on this, his response.
I'm sure he's going to take my calls. I'll put the call out. All right. So now we are back to Amanda.
Okay. This is something that I've talked about on the podcast before, but only in specific episodes.
Is this about Tom Cruise being a stuntman?
No, you know what? I purposefully did not put this my Tom Cruise opinion on this list.
Okay.
Because it's not that controversial. There are plenty of people that agree with me.
All right.
Anyway, my number two, The Notebook, is probably the worst depiction of a romance to admire than any other film. Noah manipulates this woman who is seeing someone else to go out with him, or else he will kill himself. And every time she gets a little bit of happiness, he's there to try and swoon her away regardless of the implications. Their relationship is incredibly toxic and unhealthy. Nothing about this should scream romance and love. Now, in the end, is the ending very sweet because of the health condition? And it's all very sad and sweet. But their entire relationship leading up to that moment is nothing to admire.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would edit it. Though I agree with that, I'm not going to say the entire relationship, but I'm going to say the entire courtship up until the marriage, because we don't know what happens after they get married beyond like this incredible bond that they have at the end of the marriage.
That's fair. But even when she's engaged to someone else and he's like relentless, like this man does not let her just say no and just live with it. He's like, oh, well, I got you to say yes one time before because I threatened to drop myself off a Ferris wheel. So I'll get you to say yes again.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me because I don't like that movie. I just don't enjoy it at all. And the end is like, wait, dementia the whole time? That's where we were at? How did I not see that coming?
It was a good twist.
It was a great twist. Sad, very sad. Yeah, I can see your point. I never really, I didn't like their romance, and maybe that's why. I just, I just thought the whole thing was very tragic, but not in a good movie way. Just more of a, well, that's sad. God, I'm glad it's over, too. Also not meant for me. I'm on board, Amanda, mostly because I don't like that movie. So you got me sold. Apparently, John's still, he's not sold yet, but.
Oh, no, I'm sold, but I don't feel like I'm qualified to respond.
Okay. All right. So what's your next one, John?
You know what? I just realized that my next one maybe blends in with my first one, but let's try it. Star Wars, it should have ended with Return of the Jedi, and we've never should have never seen anything after that.
So you think all of the stuff that we've gotten since is not worth it?
Well,
does that include your extended universe books? Does that include the books, or is that we're just talking films here?
We're just talking films.
Okay.
Because my books are awesome. So shut up about that. But we don't talk books in here.
Yeah. Well, then allow. So, Kathleen Kennedy said we can't talk about them.
Right. Screw her. But don't worry. I'm sure somebody's going to remind us that Kathleen Kennedy has no like writing power or something like that. You know who you are.
Apparently you do too. Call him out by name, John. Call him out.
No. It's okay. Continue your point.
So my point is that, you know, since Return of the Jedi, you know, we got the prequels and, you know, a lot of people who are of a certain age love the prequels. A lot of people of a other age, not so much. And then we got the new movies. And again, this is, again, one of those situations where a lot of people of a certain age love those. And I'm talking like toddlers. And then everybody who remembers the first six movies, not so much. And then we have these shows that where the best character and the best show that we have is of a character that's not from the history of the movies at all. It's a brand new character, gives us a brand new enjoyment for it. Everything where they try to bring up Boba Fett, I could have told him. I think I did tell him. I think I told everyone that that would have been a bad idea to bring Boba Fett back. Now we have Obi-Wan, and that's Obi Snooze, because it's not that interesting of a show. And it doesn't give me anything new to be excited about because, again, I feel like I know where the story is going. So, yeah, if we would have just been able to end at Return of the Jedi, I could have maintained my love for Star Wars as opposed to feeling like I spent a good majority of my life loving something that will never love me back.
Well, that ending just got really sad and tragic, just like The Notebook. But I would, you know, I can see both sides. I can see why someone who had a beloved affection for Star Wars would want it to end and not see any of the lesser than aspects. But at the same time, that's how a property, it's one of the ways that they've gotten to have Star Wars live on with multiple generations. And you said it yourself, the next generation, a set of films are made for, and they connect to, you know, my generation. We, a lot of us, like the prequels because we grew up with it. You know, that's what came out when we were kids. We know they're not great movies, but we still have an affection for them because of that. And then this next set, of course, when there's another generation. So it's basically just making a new set of movies for that following generation and trying to continue that and make it live on. But I understand why someone who was so connected and saw the originals would be like, no, we didn't need more. And I don't care about these other generations loving Star Wars. They could have just loved the originals if we, you know, we could have just made that persist. So I see both sides to this argument.
There's a trick here because they started episode 4, 5, and 6. Like those are 4, 5, and 6. So I think it's perfectly fine to have episodes 1, 2, and 3. And then also 7, 8, 9. I'm fine with that. What I think should have happened, in my opinion, is Skywalker should have been done with 4, 5, and 6. You've got a whole world out there, and they have to connect every damn saga series to the Skywalkers. It's all Skywalker. And now even the series are all connected to Skywalker. Everything's a freaking Skywalker movie. You know, even Rogue One had nothing to do with Skywalkers. They got to have a Skywalker pop up. You know, they got to have Leia show up at one point and be like, hey, what's up? This magical glow. What's going on? Like, there's no reason that they have to, even in the show, you got Mandalorian, you got Boba Fett, shows where the characters should never show up, just frequently just show up because they're so they're like addicted to the Skywalker name. And I think it's ruined it and diluted the property so much that it has kind of ruined the concept of what Star Wars was at one time, which was this vast imaginative universe of endless possibilities. And instead, just a vehicle to meet up with a Skywalker again. And it's such cheap nostalgia because they do it. And every time fans just lose their shit over it and they get super excited. And all I keep thinking is, that's all it takes, man. Like, it doesn't matter if the story sucks. Like, Boba Fett was a crappy series, but you show Mando and you show Skywalker and people lose their minds. And I'm like, this is why
don't
you
forget
keep...
Grogu.
What's that?
Don't forget Grogu. Yeah, Grogu shows up in it too.
Yeah, don't forget Baby Yoda. And I'm just going to keep calling him Baby Yoda. I don't care what his name is. It's just, I agree with you to a certain extent. I think it's been mismanaged. I don't think it was wrong to do it, but it's been mismanaged completely. And everything is banked on nostalgia instead of creating something unique. And they get a pass a lot for some reason, and I don't understand why. So that's an interesting point, John. It does connect to the Thanks. Earlier one, but hey, still works.
Don't worry, my third one also connects in a weird way.
You did plan for this episode, right? Like, it wasn't just like just now? You showed up and be like, ah, oh, shit, I got three things. They're all Star Wars.
I got a three-day weekend, and it's because of Juneteenth, and I've been drinking a lot, so no.
All right. Stanley Kubrick. This is my second one. Stanley Kubrick is a great visual artist. I think he is very imaginative in terms of his visual representation on film. But I think he's a mediocre film director. 2001 is a boring mess. Dr. Strangelove, I'll give you most of that because it's unique and interesting. But even Rob Zombie had one good one. Spartacus was okay, but that was all Kirk Douglas. What? What's so funny?
The Rob Zombie.
Oh.
Just the Rob Zombie.
It's true, though, right?
It is true.
Nothing in the direction of Spartacus really impressed me that much. The rest were a real whiff to me. Eyes Wide Shut had a great orgy scene, but that was a crappy movie. Full Metal Jacket, half the movie's great because of D'Onofrio, and then the second half is absolute garbage. The Shining didn't even resemble the source material in any way, shape, or form, and people excuse hamming it up as great acting. Ridiculously over-the-top performances across the board. I don't find Stanley Kubrick to be a good director. That's my second one.
I don't agree with you. I don't think he is as...
Well, that's probably why it's controversial.
It is, yeah. I think a lot of his movies are very mediocre, but even if you didn't...
Doesn't that kind of prove my point?
Hold on. Let me finish speaking. Stop interrupting women.
Don't cheap shot me.
Dr. Strangelove was fantastic.
Blah, 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 blah.
Full Metal Jacket was fantastic. You also left out A Clockwork Orange, which was wild.
Oh, I guess I did leave that out. You're right.
Yeah. and even if The Shining doesn't resemble the source material, it's still good if you think of it independently.
I don't agree with that.
I know you don't. Mm-mm. But I agree with you on 2001. I agree with you on Spartacus. I think he's had a few, you know, really good movies where he was able to shine his light and do well. But I think if you look at his entire compilation, his entire portfolio of film, he becomes much more mediocre. So I agree with part of your sentiment and not all of it.
I agree with the majority of it. Clockwork Orange, people sat me in that stupid chair and pried my eyes open and did the eye drops in my eyes to make sure I sat down and watched that movie. It was not a lot of fun, and it was not as interesting as people made it out to be.
Agreed.
Especially in the 90s.
So much so that I forgot it, John.
Yeah? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. 2001, hi, Dave. That's not really good for me.
Lolita?
No.
I like Lolita.
It's a hard pass. Like, there's a lot of things that he's done that I can't even say that I've enjoyed. Now, the visuals and the way he frames a shot and the way, you know, and the intensity that he puts into some things is pretty great. But the rest of it, his pacing is always off base. His engagement, it's off base. The way he directs his actors, way off base. So there's a lot missing from his movies, I feel.
There we go. You really like Lolita?
I do.
I feel like you and Roman Polanski are the only ones that like that movie.
Stop.
Wow.
Bazinga. By the way, he should be banned. All right. So,
yes.
Amanda, back to you. Number three. What do you got?
That's another controversial take.
That's not a controversial take. He's a piece of shit, and I hope he rots wherever he is.
Well, no, I agree, but the Academy doesn't seem to necessarily agree.
I think the Academy should be absolutely ashamed of themselves for ever allowing anything he directed after that point to come into the Academy. They should be ashamed.
They should be ashamed.
They really should be.
My third is that shows like Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine have made The Office unwatchable and annoying for me. Michael Scott was actually the worst part of that show. I'm going to add to it. So it's two controversial takes all part of one.
Okay.
He has never been an interesting or funny character.
What?
Yep. The only reason that this show was watchable.
Are you saying Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Parks and Rec are better than The Office?
100%.
Yeah. Now, I've never really given The Office a shot. I've sat down. It feels way too much like work to me.
That's what she said.
No, she really did. And then these three shows have all the same DNA. Parks and Rec actually was following the same makeup as The Office for the first season and broke away in the second season. Because Parks and Rec, the first season, was not nearly as enjoyable.
100%.
Not nearly as enjoyable as the following seasons were. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine didn't make the same mistake and just went all in at the first jump. So, like, I 100% agree with what you're saying as far as, like, The Office being one of these unwatchable and annoying shows because, yeah, it feels too much like work. And I didn't, like, the episode I watched, I'm like, wow, I'm Jim. I'm sitting there surrounded by people who are doing the craziest stuff. And I'm like, I see it all and no one listens to me. So, yeah, there we go.
Well, that's why it works, though. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't like comedies across the board. I mean, very, very rarely. I mean, only Murders in the Building is obviously an exception. Cobra Kai is an exception. But The Office is one. I don't know them by heart. I don't watch it religiously. But if it's on in background, I will laugh, like, typically. Unlike Friends, where if that's on, I just don't find anything in there funny. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, occasionally, but it's usually Terry Crews. Andy Samberg, I don't find funny. Parks and Rec, I've tried multiple times, but I've only watched the first season. But I
oh, that's where it's not good. That's what John has a perfect observation.
I am not watching more.
No. Just jump into the second season.
No, you misunderstand. I watched 10 episodes. I will not watch anymore. I don't care. I just don't care. I gave it as much as I could give it. I'm done. So nothing there worked. Where I've seen multiple episodes of The Office from various seasons, and I typically laugh, and I do think Steve Carell is over the top. And I do think the British Office is superior in many ways, but it's also very, very short and compact. But Jim is amazing. Pam is amazing. And it makes me laugh. Usually, I'm always guaranteed at least a stupid chuckle with that show. So I guess I get that's why it's controversial, except for you and John. You guys are on board.
Yeah. Troy would probably disown me and kick me off, get me kicked off this show if he heard this right now.
What kind of power do you think Troy
has?
No,
he could just let you do what you're going to do and you'll do it to yourself.
Oh, ouch.
He doesn't need to kick you off. He just won't show up for a couple weeks. And then he takes over. That's how it works.
Look at the face. I have been called out and it hurts.
John, you're a third.
My third. The Snyder Cut is a much better movie than the Avengers Age of Ultron.
Agreed.
I don't think that's really that controversial. I feel like that's true. That's just fact.
Oh, all right.
But go ahead. Explain. Well, then, why do you feel that way?
Well, I don't need to. I mean, if everyone's going to agree with me, let's just go on to my fourth and final one then. Jordan Peele is not the, though a great writer director, he is not the greatest director of our current generation.
Oh, my God. John, if you get murdered, it's not me. I just want you to know it wasn't me.
I don't even understand your
take. I have an alibi.
His take is very specific to Amanda.
And it's not even how Amanda feels.
Not anymore, because she's like, I shouldn't say shit like that.
He's the pioneering director of our time.
Oh, my God.
People can't just be good anymore. They got to be the pioneering director of our time.
Oh my God.
But he is a great
I'm
director.
So proud of myself.
He is a great
You're so sassy.
I wonder if there's people, going back to your earlier point, do you think there's people that still haven't watched the Snyder Cut because of their absolute disdain for,
yes.
for Snyder?
And, yes, absolutely.
I know people.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I was married to people.
So it isn't even because of, you know, Justice League burned them so bad. It was because they just don't like Zack Snyder. Is that?
They just don't like his movies or the DC movies. If they didn't like, 100%.
I don't know.
I think a lot of people see it as, I already gave a bunch of my time to watch the original version.
Fair. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. So I'm not going to give in more time to potentially still not like it.
I think that's a fair assessment. I just mean, like, if you don't want to watch it just because you hate Zack Snyder, I'm like, well, that's an extreme. But you know what?
Gotcha.
I won't watch a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Right.
Now.
I'm officially done with his stuff. So I guess I can understand that.
Hell yeah, you are.
So the person I sat down and watched that movie with when it came out on HBO, who is a person who's very exhausted by superhero movies and and the like, sat there and enjoyed, even though it was a 4-hour movie, she was also very exhausted by movies that were longer than 45 minutes, I think.
So any movie? So movies in general? So
anything that's not a short. Okay.
Right. Anything that's not a short. That person actually found, like, as we were watching it, she was like, okay, so is this scene in that other movie? I'm like, yeah. Okay. She goes, all right. So that the only redeeming qualities of that other movie, are they all pretty much just Zack Snyder shooting? I'm like, probably. So.
Yep.
I think that's a fantastic film. It really is. I mean, it's 4 hours. It's really long as hell, but I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I ain't ashamed of it. My last controversial opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that The Goonies is a more impactful, earnest, enjoyable film about friends and friendship on an adventure and a quest than Lord of the Rings.
Well, yeah, because that entire second movie is just them walking.
They walk so much faster in Goonies. But if you think about it, it's the same idea. A bunch of friends go on a quest at their own peril. They all have their quirks. They all contribute. Mikey's big brother is just missing a sword, and then he'd be Aragorn. The Fratellis look like orcs.
That was bogus.
They need to save their home, the Shire. They have real moments of heartache, friendship, kinship, all while avoiding death and danger. They also learn empathy for a broken-down villain who's a tragic character in Sloth. They also realize which treasure they need to let go because it's not meant for them. And this is the same story. It's just told in 7 hours, less time, with better friendship, humor, and all-around joy. The Goonies is the better version of Lord of the Rings.
Hey, you guys.
Natalie Dormer said hi.
You're a monster. Anyways, I would agree with that on multiple levels. I think when that movie hit, when I originally watched it, it was something that taught me how friends should be as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I can't see myself watching Lord of the Rings and being like, oh, this is how friends should be. One person should be this completely dysfunctional, completely unhealthy for you person, and you got to carry them up a freaking mountain. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes more of a study on helping someone with addiction.
I was just going to say that movie has always felt to me like an example of helping someone with addiction or being that support system of someone who has an addiction, because it was so toxic and unhealthy that I wouldn't necessarily. I would say that Samwise is a great depiction of friendship because he was there to support. Yeah, he was there to support in every aspect and never let his friend fall over the cliff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, everybody else is like, go on, they'll be fine.
But I would not say that it is a reciprocal friendship for a lot of the movies. And the second one is very boring.
Not at all.
So I would, and Goonies is so much fun, and they accomplish the same amount in just a much shorter time period.
And I feel like they're better friends.
Yeah.
They are better friends in Goonies, because in Goonies teaches you that you can have disagreements with your friends and they're not friendship ending.
Exactly.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You can have disagreements with the people that you spend time with and there's still a lot of love and respect there. You know, that's something that I think that people these days have a little bit of trouble with anymore, because like friends have become very disposable and interchangeable versus people that you create your own family. And that's something that I always loved about most of my friendships throughout the years, is that they were my extended family, and I loved them all for that. And I get that from movies like Goonies, movies like The Flight of the Navigator, Explorers. Yeah. Actually, Flight of the Navigator is another good one. You know, movies like those were movies, you know, Optimus Prime, you know, he taught me all these things combined into one thing that create the amount of like no quit that I have for my friends. I will let them quit me any day of the week, especially when I start realizing how toxic they are for me. But if it's just something where it's a simple disagreement or simple not seeing eye to eye, those are all things that should not be friendship ending or, you know, life changing or any of that.
All right. Well, now we've got some listener thoughts, like their controversial takes on certain things. You guys ready to hear some of those and we can discuss?
Yes. I'm ready to hear some of those. Okay.
So David Phillips Jr. says The Wiz is way better than The Wizard of Oz.
Ah, great take.
Way better songs and more interesting dance numbers. Just all around more interesting representation of that story.
I'm not biased because I was in The Wiz as a play, but
do you like the songs better?
I think it's more fun.
Explain. Why is it just all around?
Exactly. Everything that he said is the perfect explanation.
I don't know. I feel like I'm partial to it because it was one of my mom's favorite movies. So I watched it 1,000 times and it brought her joy. So it brought me joy by watching her have joy.
Mm-hmm.
But The Wiz is great, too. So
you're wrong and I'm right.
OK, there we go. We'll go with that. John, do you have any feeling on this either way?
I don't know if I've ever seen The Wiz.
You really should watch it. You really should.
I probably should.
You should.
So, but I, at the same time, I don't, like, The Wizard of Oz is a movie that I can't watch anymore.
Is there a reason? Or are you?
It just bores me.
Okay. Well, there's no place like home, I guess. Andreas, he says, the only movie that came to my mind for this topic is Irreversible. The scene in the underpass was so appalling that I won't watch this movie ever again. One could argue that it's needed to be as realistic as possible, but I think it was too much, at least for me. And the movie he's talking about, if you don't know what Irreversible is, it's a movie with Monica Bellucci where she is raped under an underpass. And the story is, it's a very, very, I mean, damn near pornographic. It's a real-time rape scene that's horrific to watch. And by many critics' accounts anyway, that scene is a very intense and it kind of brings to life just how horrible rape is.
I think I don't need you to show me how bad rape is for me to realize how bad rape is.
It's one of those where I find the movie is very moving, but that scene is impossible to rewatch, I think. So I kind of see what he's saying. That's an interesting take because a lot of people love that movie because that scene's in there. Hmm. And I think a great director wouldn't need to show all of that, which means Kubrick definitely would. I said it.
That was funny.
Mac Herring, Furiosa did not steal the show in Fury Road. The character does not need a standalone movie. Make another Mad Max with Max instead. Discuss.
That's Charlize Theron's character, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Sorry, but no, I don't give a shit about anything but Charlize Theron. She did make the movie for me. I understand why people who have more connection to like the original and stuff might enjoy more than Charlize Theron. But for me, this was not my type of movie. And I also didn't really enjoy it that much aside from her. And because they just go in a circle and that's always bothered me. Like, I feel like this is dumb. You just wasted my time. But I think that Charlize Theron, whatever she's in, steals the show 100%.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that Charlize kind of stole the show on that one. I watched that movie once and I would have to say that Tom Hardy, though usually a great and engaging actor, didn't do much in that movie. Like, he didn't really show up too much. Now, that could also be said about the Mel Gibson Mad Maxes because of the way he's playing that character, which is very toned down and very quiet.
Very stoic.
very stoic. Yeah. And so there is that through line when it comes to the two different characters of Mad Max, how they've been portrayed as, they're basically the thing that's carrying you through the story, but the story is actually the things that are happening around him.
Yeah. I get why this is a controversial take, because I don't think you're going to find many people that agree with you on that one. I found Tom Hardy to be okay in that movie, which is, I think he's a great actor, but he's just okay in that movie. And I love that movie, and I love it a lot because of Charlize Theron. Now, I agree, it doesn't need a standalone movie because Charlize Theron isn't in it. And that makes the difference for me. It really does. But, man, I would still watch another Mad Max movie, though. I mean, George Miller is a great director, so I'm sure it would be fun. But Brandon Smith. Ooh, this is a hot take. I don't like Scott Pilgrim. I found nearly every character to be unlikable and poorly written, and the world made no sense. And Brandon, I am with you 100%.
No!
100%.
I like Scott Pilgrim.
I like Knives Chow. That's it. So much. As soon as the movie was over, I had to look her up and make sure she was legal, because I felt bad.
Ew.
She's super cute. But yeah, I don't like that movie. So you guys... Most people think this is a great movie and Edgar Wright can do no wrong. Are you on that same plane? Are you with Brandon or against Brandon?
I'm against him. Sorry, Brandon.
I'm against Brandon because I find the movie visually appealing. I find it to be fun, and like the jokes within it are something that I enjoy. I don't like Michael Cera, and I don't like a lot of the other actors in it. But for whatever reason, whenever it's on, I can sit down and watch it.
All right. Billy Axel Foley says Ghostbusters is boring. What? No. Yeah.
What?
Enjoy your hot take.
Yeah. You're on your own, pal.
Can't help you with that one. That's nonsense. Stefan Smidebeck says hype around movies is a turnoff. I rather wait to check stuff out unless I already decide a long time ago that I want to watch some movie. So he's saying that hype around movies is a turnoff, is his controversial opinion. He doesn't like hype.
I feel that I am going to have to more or less agree with him. I start distrusting things that get too much hype. I start sitting there going, yeah, but what's wrong with it? Why? Like, how could it be that awesome? I've been fooled before way too many times when it comes to hype, whether it's hype from my group of friends, whether it's hype from, the ads and, news articles or whatever. Like, I start getting really distrusting of it. I've been my biggest and easiest one to point to is like my group of friends really loved Avatar, the first movie. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you have to go see Avatar. It's one of the best movies we've ever seen. It's amazing. It's great. And I fell asleep in that movie. It's not as fun and exciting as the people made it out to be.
I think that hype can... It's not going to make or break it for me. If I'm interested in watching something, I'm going to watch it. If I'm not interested in watching something, I'm not going to watch it. I have trusted sources that I go to, but I don't know. I just feel like there are some people who are a little bit more contrarian when it comes to hype. If they hear hype, they're like no, then I don't want to watch this because it's too hyped up now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's what he's saying or if he's just saying like that it doesn't matter to him, like that's not going to affect him.
I just tune it out.
Yeah,
like, I try to tune it out because honestly, there's certain properties that I know there's going to be hype before it ever comes out. So I will wait and just check it out myself. And I just stay objective, especially Star Wars or Marvel. You can always guarantee there's going to be ridiculous hype and it's the best thing ever. And it's just like, no, it's not. So every next iteration is the best thing ever. Come on. Just you're ridiculous. Because there's always people in our circles that are like that with certain properties.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Last one. Lauren Thomas Williams says Sister Act is better than Sister Act 2. Are there a lot of people that think Sister Act 2 is better than Sister Act?
I didn't know there was a Sister Act 2.
Wow.
I actually think there's a Sister Act 3, but
no,
I might be wrong about
no,
that.
There's no Sister Act 3. I agree. The first one's really, I liked the first one a lot. The second one I didn't like at all. So Amanda didn't even know there was one.
I didn't even know there was a second one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where she.
I know I saw them both, but I've forgotten them entirely.
Is this a very controversial opinion?
I don't know.
Lauren.
I don't know. Says it is, you know? I take him at his word. I don't know. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the topic. We've got one more thing to get to. But before we do, share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our site is thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can always email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. And you can rate and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. You can find John's artwork on Insta or Twitter at rjohndraws. Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows and Smirkin at Sink Into This. Troy at Troy Heinrichs and The Blacklist Exposed. And me, I'm presenting Hitchcock and those other properties and at Aaron Smirks. And just want to also say that Beyond Westworld that Troy and I do is back. And we the next premiere is like June 27th. So we will be back covering that fourth season. Maybe it'll be the final season. But we've been saying that about The Blacklist for 5 years. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to have a little debate before we head out of here. This is our game for the week, all right? So you're having a movie night with friends and family at your July 4th party. You've created an outdoor theater in your backyard, but you can only watch one movie between Independence Day and Jaws. Two admittedly classic Independence Day-style based films. Which is the best July 4th party selection and why?
Before anyone answers this, Aaron, I have to ask, are you just presenting this as a game topic because you can't decide what to watch on July 4th when you create an outdoor theater in your backyard and want to watch either Independence Day or Jaws?
100%. 100%. I need help deciding this.
Well, I'm going to go with Independence Day, and for multiple reasons. One of them is, like, a lot of them is that, like, a lot of my friends have smaller kids, and, you know, if I invite them over, I'd want their kids to come over as well, and I want everyone to be able to sit down and enjoy the awesome little outdoor theater that I had put together.
Aaron doesn't like Second kids, reason, so probably not.
Yeah. Second reason is that as soon as you got Bill Pullman doing the speech, mm-hmm. I'm going to stand up in front of everyone and mouth along with the speech and have a good time.
I could steal that.
Yeah.
Yep. You're welcome.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Everybody does it and does a shot at the same time.
Yeah. Right. Good evening. Good evening.
Is there a party game you could do with that one?
100%.
What?
Every time you hear Independence Day, you see a flag. You see the colors red, white, and blue.
Oh, God, I don't want to go blind.
Take three shots as soon as Will Smith says, "Welcome to Earth."
Uh-huh.
And when he punches that alien, just like he punched Chris Rock. Oh, sorry.
Ooh.
That's too soon, huh? Too soon.
I would also say Independence Day because I feel like it's the more fun option, like for a gathering. Jaws is an enjoyable film and it's exciting. And if you're in water, I feel like that's a lot of fun. But Independence Day, I mean, it's in the title, man.
Yeah, but Jaws is centered around Independence Day.
I feel like you're just trying to get everybody else to agree with Jaws now.
No,
because I can already tell you have preference.
No, to be fair, I did Jaws last year for Independence Day. And
Well, you got to switch it up.
I know, but I watched it at night. And I have a above ground pool. I'm not rich, but had lit like colored balls that were red that had them in a pool, so it looked like blood in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And we were swimming while watching Jaws. It was actually really cool.
It
was a lot of fun. But I actually agree that I think Independence Day is the way to go now because I already did Jaws. But now I have that affirmation from you guys.
You're welcome. I'm glad we're here to have work things out.
Yeah.
With you.
I want to hear what listeners think too. They might disagree. Like, do Jaws again because that's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. Da, 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 da. I want to hear what they think.
Well, are you inviting different people?
Not listeners, probably.
No, not listeners. But I'm saying
if my wife is very specific about who gets to come to the house.
If the same people who were invited last year are also invited this year, you would want to switch up the movie anyway because otherwise it's just an annual Jaws party.
I don't see what's wrong with that. That doesn't sound like a bad
thing. It's not a bad thing,
but
I'm just saying.
I could do a similar thing where it's red, white, and blue balls.
Yeah.
That just sounds dirty. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Blue balls? Mm-hmm. AC/DC balls.
Yeah. What just happened? What? So, yeah. So, we could do that. And you're right. I don't like kids for that just because it's dark and, you know, there's a pool and you can't see them at all. That's dangerous to me. I don't want to. There's liability there. I don't like it.
I like how he's finding roundabout reasons to be like, "No, I don't want kids around because I want to get drunk with my friends."
Yeah, I don't want you. I don't want kids ruining the fun. Honestly, that's what it boils down to. All right, so though next week we will have a compilation episode in the feed, and our next episode will actually arrive on July 13th. We hope everybody has a wonderful time with your family and friends over the holiday. If you're in the U.S., if you're overseas, which many of you are, I hope you have a great early July, I guess. Whatever you guys do over there around this time. And I keep praying to whatever deity you believe in for America, because it needs it.
Do you think England just sits there and celebrates? Thank God we dodged that bullet. Right.
They have their own July 4th party. Like, you dumbasses.
Right. And happy Juneteenth.
There you go. Well, it's already over by the time you listen to this, though.
Well, but it's being... Oh, yeah, you're right.
But we're on Juneteenth right now as we speak.
Yes, absolutely. So happy belated Juneteenth.
Happy belated Juneteenth. Okay. Happy Pride Month.
No, we're experiencing it exactly right now. So they will sit there and say, oh, they were experiencing Juneteenth and recording this, so I was technically with them.
Yeah.
And stop overthinking this.
Okay, well then happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot it's Father's Day.
There you go.
Happy Father's Day.
Jeez. Happy Father's Day to all the papas and grandpapas and people that are picking up the slack for moms and dads that aren't doing the job. You know, happy across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Happy days. You guys do anything for July 4th, Independence Day?
You
guys want to come to a party where I watch Independence Day in the backyard?
Don't let listeners get your address. They might show up. Your wife's going to lose it.
That would be weird.
She said there's a 5-person limit. No children.
That would be weird. People just showed up. No, are you guys
so
doing?
Aaron's address is?
Nope. Are you guys doing anything? You will be met with resistance. But
probably not.
Appreciate the thought. No? Not going to fireworks anything like that?
Stuff like that doesn't... If it's happening like that around here, it's probably because somebody's honestly shooting up a place.
Aren't you in the woods?
Jesus.
Yeah. And like I keep on saying, there's more militias than teeth around here.
Well, I have...
That's amazing.
By the time that people listen to this, I will have probably moved to Texas fully. And so I'm going to a party.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, I'm going to a party on the lake with some people. So that's my plans.
Is that why you've been absentee for much of
a lot of life changes? Yeah.
Well, she was getting ready for losing a lot of rights. So she was experiencing them all before she had to go to Texas.
And now I get to mark my vote on a ballot to hopefully change some things.
Oh, well, that'll make a difference.
Or maybe I'll just run for office.
There you go.
Vote for me.
Enjoy.
There you go.
Enjoy. Are you coming back more regularly after this move?
Yes. Okay. Yes. My life is going to be settled down.
All right.
Well, I'll go back to being full-time staffer.
I've
still
got,
paid $0.
You know what? You're paid in smiles. So
smiles. You know, I don't feel like I get enough payment of smiles from John.
That's because I don't know how to smile.
We're going to have to work on that. We're going to make you smile, John.
Mm. Oh, bother.
Hi, poo.
All right.
Oh, that was really good.
It was good. And also remarkably sad at the same time.
Remarkably sad.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Remember, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn. So I'm going to go ahead and go. But first, any questions on the format?
I mean, the format is nothing but questions, isn't it?
Wow. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's do it. Wow thing.
Thank God. I'm not the only person that got that.
Y'all are too old for that.
Wow.
I didn't want to say I'm too young. I wanted to say you're too old.
No, because that would insinuate that it's before our time, which it wasn't before our time.
It was right exactly during our time.
Yeah, but so, you guys are old, so.
That really is unnecessary. So here we... Look,
we're not old. We're just very, very well lived.
You're seasoned.
I have a lot of rings in my trunk, is what I'm saying. More than a few.
We're calling it a trunk now?
It's a badonkadonk, but... Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing a...
Sorry. So Sorry, I had an eyelash in my eye.
Okay.
So you punched the microphone.
I didn't mean to punch it.